Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia. We are so glad that all of you were able to join us today in this good place for the worship of our God. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the pew registers when they are passed a bit later in the service, for this always helps us to know each other better. And we hope that if you are our guest today, you will give our people an opportunity to greet you following the service. We would especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
What does the Holy One require of us? Let us worship God. The Lord be with you.
Pray. God of love and grace, we thank you for calling us here today to restore ourselves in your presence. We pray that you would help us to grow stronger as we praise you and wiser as we listen to your word. We ask that the brilliant light which can come only from you would break through any darkness within us or around us and would grant peace to us as we sing, pray, and meditate on your words for us today. We are also grateful for the ways in which you call us to serve. Though we may be anxious or unable to fully see what it is you see in us, we trust in your call. We trust that you created us and know us and work to fulfill your call within us. And today we all seek to follow with humble and willing hearts. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us what it means to live for others and to serve in your name. Teach us to continue to follow his example, knowing that your Spirit journeys with us. Amen.
Thank you.
you join with me as together we affirm our faith? We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
First lesson is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Our second lesson this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 and beginning to read with the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the written word of the Lord. You may be aware of the fact that Baptist tradition often has called for a deacon ordination service to contain words to the person or persons being ordained, as well as words to the congregation. We sometimes refer to them as the charge to the candidate and the charge to the church. What I would like to do this morning is a bit different. I would like to combine these two things in order to offer some personal words to Jenny Halpin as she begins her service as a deacon lay minister, but also for us all to think together about the larger ministry that all of us share together at First Baptist Church Savannah. The first thing I would remind us about is that the role of a deacon and the identity of a Christian disciple are both bound up essentially with the idea of a calling to ministry. Over the last two Sundays, we have read again those accounts in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John when two pairs of brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, quickly followed by James and John, those sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee, were selected by Jesus and invited to leave their fishing nets and to follow Jesus as the first of his 12 disciples. Apparently, Jesus saw something special in each one of them, in each of those four persons, called them out from what they were doing in the natural course of their lives. And the most amazing thing is that they responded immediately by dropping their nets and leaving their boats in order to follow Jesus. Jenny, you likewise have been chosen by this church, along with all of the other members of the active diaconate, because your brothers and sisters in Christ see something special in you. They know all of you to be persons who have faith in Jesus Christ and are willing to minister in the lives of other people. In fact, we hope that no one is ever elected to deacon service in this church who is not a strong disciple of Jesus and already performing the work of a servant minister. And of course, the calling by Jesus of those first four disciples just underscores the fact that all of us have been called to be disciples and have been ordained, if you will, in our individual experiences of baptism. The other idea I would share with you, though, is that while you and the other deacons have been called out and chosen to perform some very necessary functions in the life of this church, you have primarily been called to be a certain kind of person. Perhaps there is no better passage of Scripture describing the kind of person Jesus had in mind than the one which forms our gospel lesson for today. It contains the opening verses of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, in which he tells of the new age he has come to introduce to the world. These Beatitudes, as they are commonly known, declare God's favor upon those persons who desire to live out their lives under the rule of Jesus in this new kingdom. Blessed are those. Blessed are they. Blessed are you. Scholars often point out that these statements by our Lord reveal a rather striking reversal of fortunes when compared to humanity's expectations. The poor in spirit get the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn are comforted. The meek ones inherit the earth. Kelly Land has noted that what Jesus is doing here is to identify those qualities which much of the world regards as weak and undesirable, and then elevates them to a position of honor and reward. Others have observed that these are qualities that Jesus desires us to strive for, even though we may never fully attain any of them. If we want the kingdom of heaven, the experience of comfort, and the inheritance of the earth, then we have to be poor in spirit, and we have to know how to mourn and how to be meek and so forth. Yet it seems like we either have some of these qualities or we do not. And in fact, some of them, like mourning or showing mercy or making peace or being persecuted, are only experienced when some other person or some outside force causes us to respond in that way. Kelly Land again, "This should discourage me. I can never live up to Jesus's Beatitudes, his famous list of those who are blessed among us. But I'm not discouraged. I don't think his Beatitudes are a list of the way we should be. Instead, I think they are a description of the people we often choose not to see. The lowly, the downtrodden, the impoverished, the homeless, the lonely, the humble, the innocent. These people are not loud and powerful. They are quiet and lack influence. Jesus, however, points them out. He lifts them up. He encourages them. He sees them. When he speaks to the crowd, many of whom are probably not so poor in spirit, mournful, meek, or pure, he is telling them that these others whom they often ignore, even revile, are precious to him. The reason that Christians believe these Beatitudes are true is that we also believe that no matter how ugly the world may appear right now, God is bringing a reign of peace and justice and righteousness. Our amazing privilege is that we, as deacons in this church and disciples of Jesus Christ, get to share in all of that. We do. As John Buchanan once put it, we Christians believe that the long arc of human history is toward freedom and equality and kindness and love. We Christians believe it, even in the face of contrary evidence, we bet our lives on it, are willing to be fools for Christ for it, and sometimes suffer and die for it, because he said it and then lived out his own life based upon it and died for it. Meek, not violent, to the end. Loving, not cursing and invoking the wrath of God, and forgiving. We are defined, finally, by how well we love. Jesus wanted every one of his disciples to make the most of their lives, and so he taught them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful. Blessed are people who hunger after honesty and thirst after justice. Blessed are the pure in heart, who see how God loves all persons. Blessed are the ones who do each and every day the hard work of peacemaking. When you think of it, these words are similar to what the Old Testament prophet Micah says in summing up all of the legal, ethical, and spiritual requirements of his religion, namely, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To Jenny and all of the other deacons who are being installed today, we believe that each one of you wants to be that kind of person. Your presence here today testifies to the fact that our congregation really does call out its best to serve the church. Your willingness to minister to us in the name of our Christ speaks to the way God calls each one of us to ministry and to the importance of our listening and responding to that call. May we never, ever forget these lessons that Jesus taught his first disciples that day in his Sermon on the Mount, and which he teaches all of us even today. Blessed are you. Thanks be to God, and welcome to this ministry. Let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. You are gracious to call us to service and to invite us to join you in bringing about the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. Help all of us now to claim our ministry in the church and in our world, and to do it well for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Believing that our God hears us whenever we pray, we join our hearts together now, first praying silently and then offering together the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. O God, our deliverer, you walk with the meek and the poor, the compassionate and those who mourn, and you call us to walk humbly with you. When we are foolish, be our wisdom. When we are weak, be our strength, that as we learn to do justice and to love mercy, your rule may come over our lives as a blessing. Lord, in your mercy. O gracious God, even as our national leaders struggle to deal with a policy of immigration and the worldwide problem of refugees, help us to remember that you told Israel, "You are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." And that our Lord Jesus himself taught us, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." Lord, in your mercy. Life-giving Spirit, the world is broken in so many places today that we find ourselves wanting to pray for nearly all of the human family. Hear us as we intercede for those closest to us, whose bodies hurt or whose spirits grieve. And especially this morning, we would pray for Mary Alice and Will, for Gerald and others who are recovering from surgery in recent days, for the family of Carolyn and the loss of her father, and for those homeless families our church will host this week through Interfaith Hospitality Network. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O God, to live within the community of love which you have promised, and to work together and labor together until that final day comes when we shall see you face to face. And we make our prayer in the name of your Son, who taught his first disciples to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
make our offering this morning, let us remember that we give and serve and love others because of Christ's great gift to us. So let us give now that all may know of God's love and care. Let us pray. God of grace and compassion, you sent your Son into our midst that we might see his way of love and that we might hear his call to follow. Remind us that following Christ means we do not measure success by the world's standards, but by living out his example despite what the world says. May the gifts we lift to you this morning represent a sacrifice and a commitment to be ones who act justly, who love mercy, and who walk humbly. And may all of our gifts help those who need them most. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Be seated. We are pleased this morning to ordain Jenny Halpin as a new deacon in the life of First Baptist Church. I would ask that she stand now and face the congregation as we read together the ordination and installation liturgy printed in your order of worship. This candidate has been elected in due and proper manner to the ministry of deacon. Having been called by your own vote to serve, she has signified her willingness to work in this capacity. We do therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now proceed in her ordination. Jenny, for as much as you have shown your willingness to assume the responsibilities of this office, and because the deacon ministry is of such vital importance to the life of our church, I pose these basic questions. Do you believe in God, the Creator, who redeems us through Christ, his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit? And do you confess anew the Lord Christ as your Savior and as the head of the church, which is his body? Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God written, the inspired source book and guide for faith and practice?
I do so believe.
Do you accept the office of deacon in this congregation and promise faithfully and according to your ability to provide the leadership of a servant of Christ?
I do so accept and promise.
Do you promise by word and by example to promote the peace, the unity, and the work of this church and of the church universal?
I do so promise.
I would now ask all of the other members of the active diaconate to join by standing, if you would, and also facing the congregation as we together share in the covenant promise and charge from the congregation. These are the persons whom you have called to be your servant leaders. What promise do you make to them?
We pledge to hold you and your ministry in this church in the highest esteem. We have taken seriously our choice of you. We desire that you lead us with courage, conviction, and compassion.
We charge you to give unselfishly to the well-being of our church, be interpreters of our ministry to one another, to this community, and to the world. Be prophets calling us to the hard truths we sometimes would rather dismiss or forget. Be friends to us in times of crisis and change. Be pastoral to us in our joys and in our sorrows. You may be seated. It is our practice and privilege on those occasions when we ordain deacon ministers to share in the ancient rite of the laying on of hands. In keeping with what we understand to have been the practice of the New Testament church, it is open to all who would add their affirmation and blessing to those who serve. And so with that in mind, we invite all of you, whether you have been ordained or not, to add your blessing now through the laying on of hands. Jenny, if you would please kneel.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, who calls on all of us to live out an attitude of service, we rejoice in what you have done in the lives of all of these deacons, and particularly in the life of Jenny, who has been ordained here this morning. As they all prepare to serve in this capacity, we pray that you would grant them peace when they are distressed, clarity when they are uncertain, and understanding when there seems to be none. Grant that they seek to serve you above all others, that they serve this church with integrity and humility, and that they not forget that outside of this place are still part of your world and very much a part of our calling to serve. In our act of setting these deacons aside this morning, we express our confidence in their abilities and our gratitude for their willingness to serve and be committed to your church. We pray that your presence would remain with them always, and we dedicate them to this ministry in your capable and loving name. And we pray all these things in the name of Christ. Amen. God does extend a call to each and every one of us. So at this time, we would like to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Maybe you would like to come and be a part of this church family, or maybe you would like to become a Christian and make that decision this morning. Whatever you would like to come and share with us, we would invite you to do that, and we would receive you with great joy.
Thank you.
Each Sunday of the year, it is our real pleasure at First Baptist Church to welcome new and returning friends to our congregation, and this morning is no exception. We welcome persons from Dothan, Alabama, from Raleigh and Marion and Lenore, North Carolina, and perhaps from here in our own city of Savannah as well. Thank you for your presence. If you are our guest, do give our people an opportunity to greet you following the service. They would like very much to do that. We also welcome back to the organ bench Reverend James Richardson, who is filling in today in the absence of Kyle Ballantyne, and we thank him as well. Quickly, by way of announcement, in addition to those who serve our congregation as deacon ministers, we also affirm this morning five members of our church family who will depart on Thursday of this week on a mission trip to Cuba. These persons include Fran Arnsdorf, John Finley, Curtis Lewis, Steve Stram, and Andy Thompson. We thank those of you who contributed adult and children's vitamins, as well as a variety of over-the-counter medications and other items to share with our sister congregations in Cuba. And we would ask for your prayers for us all in our safe travels. We are still inviting your nominations for the lay leadership team, which will help to direct the discernment visioning process. We recently began with the Center for Congregational Health at Wake Forest University. A number of you have contributed names already. Blue nomination forms are available, if you've not done this, in the narthex this morning as you leave, and also in the education building. And we would ask that you return these, please, to the church no later than Wednesday night of this week. And finally, all of you are invited to join us on Wednesday night of this week for our fellowship meal, which begins at 5 o'clock, followed by activities for all age groups. During the adult gathering time, Josh Brewer will be leading a very interesting Bible study. So join us if you are able. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction? Let us pray. Gracious God, we understand that the highest and most honorable thing we can do with our lives is to follow Jesus Christ in service and love to other people. We pray for your blessing now to be upon these friends who are being commissioned today as deacon ministers and as mission volunteers to go into the life of our church, our community, and even another part of the world to improve the lives of others. May they go in health and strength, and in the knowledge and joy of knowing that their service is not only to other persons, but to you. Let them feel led in every way to comfort, encourage, and strengthen others by sharing both their love and their talents. And grant in the end that we may be a stronger and better community of faith because of their service in this way. May your presence be and abide now in our hearts forever. And may we always exalt you as the Lord of our lives, present in everything we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.